G.I. Joe Sigma 6, codename for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6, be a hero.
G.I.
Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. Once again, talking about G.I. Joe and other things that we will, of course, get to. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Are we going to talk about the Willy Wonka thing?
Yeah, I want you to introduce yourself because I have an idea, but I can't say it until you guys introduce yourselves.
Well, if that's the case, then I will never introduce myself.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito. Now, look, here's the thing. We spent the last 10 minutes before recording talking about this Willy Wonka experience in Glasgow, which is phenomenal. And the fact it was an empty warehouse with weird performance artists, 15 pages of AI gibberish script that they just were trying their best to make work, crying children, angry parents, police were called to help people get refunds. And my question is, if we did a Knowing is Half the Podcast performance art for children piece, what would that look like?
Are you asking us or our viewers?
I'm asking you guys. I'm asking real writers and not AI writers. And I'm hoping you can come up with something better than the unknown, an evil chocolatier who lives in the walls of Knowing is Half the Podcast.
I can't. Yeah, what you just described is amazing.
I've written like three comedy sketches that involve something called the unknown hiding in walls. And I don't know if it's just a thing.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Chan. Am I hearing this correctly that the AI for the Wonka thing in Glasgow used your scripts as its reference material?
I mean, yeah, probably. They probably plugged in all of my sketch scripts and then like put it into an AI and said, like, give us one of these. And there you go.
You know, funny thing, I found a CD-ROM while I was unpacking a giant box of CDs here in my new home.
Okay, hold on. First, you have to explain to kids what a CD-ROM is.
Yeah, it's like a thumb drive, but it's a disc. It's what Snake Eyes would use to bring down the Pyramid of Darkness. It's called Script Backups from January 15th of 2009. All the scripts I wrote basically between 2006 and 2009, all the comedy sketches,
yes,
would be on this disc that I felt was so important that it needed to be backed up in case I would ever lose that machine, which I have, which means that a lot of my old sketch comedy from my heyday is right here in my hand right now.
Look.
How do I feed this into an AI and get a comedy Ray sketch?
We are not going to do another one of those god-awful Find Your Fate books. We are going to crack open that disc.
Oh, geez.
We're going to print out your sketches from 15 years ago.
Oh, we're going to perform them here on the show.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes.
This is what you do when you want the podcast to be canceled, Chan. This is your contingency plan. Like if you ever get in too deep, but you're like, I don't know how to get out of this. I'm bad at breaking up with podcasting partners. How do I do it? You just leak Ray's sketches online, and then you're like, oh, no, we've been canceled, you guys. It's like a cancel culture finally came for us. Okay. Who could have foreseen this?
I think that 99% of those sketches would not cancel me. I did not work.
But that 1% is so racist.
I did write some anti-racist sketches that had the veneer of putting things that were pretty on the nose.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
But they were very clearly anti-racist.
We call that ironic racism, and it's still not good.
But it wasn't me saying it. It was these characters.
Stay Rakanus? I don't know. It seems a little...
Look, it was almighty Stay Rakanus. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So, yeah. So, any notions, though, if we were to do a Knowing is Half the Podcast pop-up? Event, pop-up restaurant, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what it would be. It would be you. Like, first of all, we would make people wait outside who were perfectly ready to start.
Absolutely.
But for some reason, we couldn't start. A reason that is unknown to everyone. For some reason, they can't get in on time and they can't start on time.
Yep. I mean, I feel like it's probably child related. And it's not really such an opaque motivation. You've got screaming children that need to be dealt with in this this experience, naturally, an AI generated experience.
Yeah, I like it.
I think once you're inside, you have to listen to Ray for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Then Chan just comes out and sighs heavily. And then you come into a basement where it's just me eating sandwiches with guys in their 20s chained to the wall. And then you leave. You don't get any of the sandwiches,
honestly,
though.
Goodbye.
You don't get
Thank
any
you for your
of the sandwiches. You come downstairs and there's so many sandwiches that you think, oh, well, at least I'm going to get a free sandwich. And then I'm like, no, no, these are all mine. And then you leave. That's what our experience is.
I'll be
is.
Honest. That's scarier than basically any Halloween hayride I've ever been on. It sounds phenomenal.
It's not entirely unlike visiting Gina normally.
Oh my god, have you tried to go by Gina's snacks table at one of her parties? Guys, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret here. Gina will have the best spread set up wherever she has a table, and it's gonna be just amazing food, right? And it's just gonna look incredible. There's gonna be a lot of variety, and it's all gonna taste fantastic. And you're gonna get maybe one bite of it. Before Gina literally attacks you and then forces you to leave while you watch her just grab handful after handful and stuff it into her mouth. And then you leave hungry.
I don't know if you
like
ever
a rabid
heard...
raccoon,
like a rabbit raccoon, which is a raccoon that has sex with a rabbit.
Yes.
Yeah. This tracks.
Rabbit raccoon.
Anyway, we are watching G.I. Joe Sigma 6. This is an episode called Challenge. And Chen warned us ahead of time, and I didn't want to believe him. See, one thing that I said right before we started was, the last few episodes of Sigma 6, I've been so happy.
Wait, Chen warned us? I didn't get a warning.
Yes. Yeah,
remember, well, last week he warned us when he watched the wrong goddamn episode.
Mm-hmm. And fair warning, have not watched it since, so...
I told you you had to rewatch it. You had to torture yourself for your mistakes.
I wouldn't blame anybody for not wanting to. Look, I'm so happy because the last few episodes have had virtually no Tunnel Rat in them. Mm-hmm. By far the terrible, you know, Edward from Cowboy Bebop of this show.
How dare
absolutely
you.
Unwatchable, horrifying, unnecessary character. And in this episode, it's like all that Tunnel Rat got built up and we just got a giant hork of Tunnel Rat right there thrown up by our cat right on our living room floor at 3 a.m.
Is this part of the G.I. Joe experience? The Knowings Have podcast?
Oh, there's going to be a lot of cats involved, yes.
Yeah.
And where there's cats, there's barfing at 3 a.m.
Where there's cats, there's always Knowing Is Half the Podcast. was me paraphrasing from the 84 David Lynch version of Dune, by the way.
Oh, gracious.
Which I just saw in the theaters, and it was just as great. Even greater.
Did you watch the part 2 yet?
No, not yet. No.
You know, I went to see the movies this afternoon. I went to go see a movie this afternoon.
What did you see?
It was not Dune 2.
No. What was it?
Madam Web, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I went and did it, so you
Hell,
don't have to.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, we all have to. Otherwise, we don't support women.
I support women. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what'd you think?
It's not as bad as many commentators would have you believe, but it is also not very good.
All right, then.
I found enough of it to be entertaining and watchable. It was very much a case of... a lot of it doesn't make a goddamn lick of sense. A lot of it, you have to really give it a lot of breaks to even let it do its storytelling. you have to really, really shut your brain off for any of it to work. And I was willing, you know what? I came in overly willing to give it the benefit of the doubt. And even then, it, you know, it got to where it was going eventually. But dude, it insulted me many. It insulted me many times along the way. What's that?
It was an uphill slog.
Yeah, but I mean, there's like the main villain is like an evil Spider-Man, which is kind of cool.
So Venom?
It was like, you know, like how Homelander is like an evil Superman, right?
Right.
It was like the Homelander version of Spider-Man.
So like
what if Spider-Man Venom? Was sort of just like a psychopathic killer who's coming to get you?
So like Venom?
Venom is a whole different thing, yo.
I see.
It's a symbiote.
He's a black Spider-Man.
I might say I enjoyed Madame Web better than both Venom movies.
I did see the first Venom movie, and I love Tom Hardy, and that dude just goes for it. And I love that, man. Too. Two things that I love, Tom Hardy and just going for it in a movie. See Dune 1984. As one of my absolute favorite movies.
Sure.
They go for it, and they don't always hit, but they
know what no, they don't cannot
say is that they half-assed it. They did not half-ass it. They whole-assed it.
Yeah. Well, the second Venom's worse than the first. I'll say that, but yeah, I mean, look, Madame Web, ladies and gentlemen, they tease you with the idea of three female Spider-Woman characters.
That sounds awesome.
No, they just tease it. They don't really give it to you.
That's bad.
Evil Spider-Man is trying to kill these three teenage girls.
Ezekiel Sims.
What's up?
Ezekiel Sims.
Ezekiel Sims, thank you.
Me?
Or are you just like quoting like factoids?
Me you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I work at New Rockstar, so I've helped work on many Madame Web scripts. I have seen many clips of it. I haven't sat down and watched them all in order.
I'll be honest, if you just sat down and watched clips, you'd probably be better off. No, I mean, look, here, real quick, because I found this movie fascinating. This is the kind of thing I would love to talk about more, maybe not here at length.
Well,
but your evil villain is an evil Spider-Man.
Like Venom?
No, not like Venom. He is nothing like Venom. He is Spider-Man, but evil.
So?
No! And he has a dream every night that he's murdered in the same way by these three Spider-Woman characters.
So like Venom Martin Luther King Jr.?
Exactly like that, yes. So he uses like police sketches that he creates with facial capture recognition that he steals from an NSA agent. who he seduces, and because he has her badge, he can now access every camera everywhere. Like, he has access to the person of interest computer.
Nice.
Basically, and he's created their faces from his dreams and put them in the computer, aged them down 10 years, and then he finds them.
You know what?
It's insane. This is how much work you have to do to make this movie work.
This does sound insane, and you've almost convinced me to go see it.
Honestly, I think you like support.
You could also just watch the new Rockstars breakdown, or Eric and Jess talking about it and cackling.
I mean, honestly, I hear the writers don't even watch the movies, so I don't know how much I can trust.
You know, that's a great point, Jan.
I mean, Eric and Jess did their own research on that one.
And now they're dead. COVID. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, watching Madame Web does not prevent COVID. I don't care how much research you did.
Listen, I've said it many times. I can't remember here or on in New Rockstars videos, but give me old ass, crazy, period, attached to a chair, Madame Web, voiced by Stan Lee's wife, like in the 90s Spider-Man episode, and I will go see that movie. I don't need a sexy young Madame Web. I want old, can't get out of her chair, wearing crazy silver goggles Madame Web. That's the Madame Web I want. And that's the Madame Web I would write.
And that's the Madame Web they give you for the final 30 seconds of the movie.
Oh, this is like in the future?
This is like a prequel, an origin story.
Yeah,
of Madame Web and her three Spider-Women allies.
It's set right before and during the birth of a baby whose name may or may not rhyme with Schmeiderschman.
Yeah. Leiterplan?
Yeah.
And, it's... and his uncle, whose name is Benjamin, who at one point says, well, I'm glad I'm not that kid's parent.
So oh, my God. That is who that is, isn't it?
Oh, my God, Ray. Wait a minute.
Ray, did you seriously? Are you shitting right me? Are you?
Look, Adam Scott is the absolute best thing in that movie. Playing a character named Ben.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Ray, did you really not put two and two together in a movie that was made for people who misunderstood striptease?
Striptease or showgirls?
Because
I don't think there's any misunderstanding striptease. I'll just go ahead and put it out there.
No, I remember I heard like a review on NPR and a woman was like, look, if you go into it like when Showgirls originally came out and it was taking itself seriously, people didn't like it. But once everyone was on board with how schlocky it was, like that's how you got to go into Madam Web. Did you really not get that that was... I mean, now I feel like we should put a spoiler warning at the beginning of this episode. Did you really not get that that Ben, who works with her, who has a baby, and he's like, we're still deciding on names. And they're like, you're going to make a great uncle, Ben. And he's like, glad that's not my kid. Did you really not put two and two together?
Did you think well, because they're not allowed to use Spider-Man, no yeah, part of
me put
Spider-Man in this.
Of course they're not, but they literally say Uncle Ben at one point.
I'll be honest, you're right, they did. And my brain was not even attuned to that wavelength. So I just let it wash over me.
You let a lot of things wash over you, Ray.
This is how the Nazis win, Ray. All of a sudden there's Nazis and everyone's like, hey, also his name in the movie is Ben Parker.
Ben Parker is his name in the movie, and I knew that.
Ben, look. What is wrong? This is like all of a sudden there are Nazi tanks outside Ray's door, and Chan is furiously knocking on his door. And Ray is like, oh, Chan, what you doing? You want to play some board games on this Sunday afternoon? And Chan's like, I need you to hide me from the Nazis. And Ray is like, what Nazis? And Chan is like, there is a soldier with a gun pointed at my head. And Ray's like, I just let that wash over me, man. I have not been paying attention to Chan, the news.
Chan, first off, Chan, if you're to the point where a soldier, a Nazi, has a gun pointed at your head, I'm not sure I'm going to successfully hide you. Mm-hmm. Bad
no,
job,
what,
this whole plan.
No, Ray, if you were any type of friend, you would kill that Nazi and hide Chan. Chan, knock on my door. I'll kill that Nazi for you.
I appreciate the Anne Franking that you're doing for me, because apparently Ray won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Ray's a collaborator and sympathizer.
Chan, I just believe in law and order.
Mm-hmm.
We make fun of Ray a lot for not understanding Legion, but not getting that Ben Parker, who has a baby.
Why would I think that? Like, why would I even be thinking in that direction?
Because it's a spider movie,
but it's not a Spider-Man movie, so I just was enjoying the Adam Scott performance.
They could not make it more... Chan, keep in mind that this movie is made for idiots. Like, there's no subtlety.
No, Gina, it's not, because it went over Ray's head. So it's made for smarter idiots than that.
Well, no wonder it's not doing very well.
Like, he literally, at one point, when they're like, you're going to make a great uncle, Ben. And he's like, oh, glad it's not my kid. He, like, practically winks to camera.
Yeah, I wasn't even worried about that.
I've got to get out of Africa, Meryl. I will allow you to have made this error if you believe that the Adam Scott character eventually became a rice entrepreneur and started his own brand of rice that only takes a minute to cook.
I'm watching the movie and I'm like, this is the weirdest second season of Severance I think they could have possibly done.
Boo on you, Ray.
Also, like, his sister's name is Mary Parker. She.
That's not Aunt May. I mean, what, Mary? I don't even know Aunt what Spider-Man's May parents are even named. Wife.
Aunt May is Ben's wife.
Does Ben even have a wife here? I don't even know. It's such a meaningless plot point. It's very easily missed if you're not even trying to find it.
It's not easily missed because they hang a lantern on it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. For people who write Easter egg videos about the movie, sure.
Or I expect you to catch every little thing about comic book characters, Ray.
So this episode of Sigma 6 begins.
Oh, God, we haven't even started.
Oh, my God.
And I just don't even know why I wrote this here. I just wrote, we have a sailing vessel. And I'm like, it's a battleship. I don't know why I wrote sailing vessel. But that's what it is. And Heavy Duty and Tunnel Rat are at it again. They're grabbing eyes and noses. They're fighting over something.
By the way, that eye grab really set the tone for this being a bad episode for me. I don't like eyeball shit. I don't like close-ups on eyeballs. And the fact that Tunnel Rat just grabs his the fucking area around his eye and pries it open, was hideous.
Yeah,
that was so hideous.
And who'd want to stick their finger that close to Tunnel Rat's nose?
Ugh, it starts off not great.
But it does get much, much worse.
Well, and then we cut over to, and this is good writing, because we cut over to Scarlet drinking a cup of coffee, having a wonderful moment, thinking to herself, ah, that's good coffee. I'm so glad we have a break.
I hate this photo that you just sent. It's going to make me yark.
Chan, what are you doing?
I hate it.
The Scarlet and Duke are having a quiet moment. No, I want to move past this photo because it's terrifying. Up. Chan, put it on the Facebook group.
Ugh, I hate it.
They're having a moment, quiet. And then what's really wild is they're just like, man, ever since we hooked up with Stone and Firefly, our lives, we don't get a moment of rest anymore. And then inexplicably, the two unnamed crew people who work on the bridge, the 21 and 24 of this operation, they turn and they go, oh, that upsets us so much to have brought so much drama in your life. We're very, they're genuinely affected by these words. And I'm like, what is even happening here?
It is.
Why are they so upset? A lot of shit's been happening.
I feel that. We came here to help you, but things just keep getting worse.
That is it's such a weird character moment. What are we trying to convey? What is are we setting up for something, or is it just this one person who's just unusually empathic?
Yeah, and I just, then it's both of them though. The big guy gets all teared up too. It's as weird as when Emma Roberts was doing a baby shower for her unnamed baby. And they're trying to guess the name and nobody can guess the name.
You're going to make such a great uncle, Ben, to your nephew. I'm just glad I don't have to raise little, what should we call him? Maybe Peter. Ray in the audience. What is, I'm just going to ignore this.
Yeah, it's not important to the plot in any way whatsoever. In fact, the part that upsets me the most about Madam Web is how good Adam Scott and Dakota Johnson, this is the first thing I've ever seen her in.
Good.
I've heard that she's the Kristen Stewart's of Dakota Johnson's.
She is, and indeed. She's also the child of Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith. So in case you're wondering why she's famous.
Yeah.
Both of whom are masterful actors.
I mean, look, very, very talented, obviously.
I love both of them.
But Adam Scott working across Dakota Johnson is just, that is wild. That's basically Triple H working a match with Scott Steiner. You know what I'm saying? It's just.
No one knows what you're saying.
I think most people who listen to the show know exactly what I'm trying to say with this.
Well, I would think one of them is Robert Clark Jane. People would know that if you have an uncle named Ben in a Spider-Man movie, mm-hmm. you put two and two together.
What's wild is that Adam Scott is he's so good for the first like 30, 40 minutes, and then he's gone until like the final part of the movie.
When he's like, gee, I hope my sibling doesn't die and I get stuck with this kid. And then at some point I die. But if I do, I know exactly what I'm going to tell him, which is with great power comes great responsibility. Ray's over here just thinking of a cymbal monkey in his head.
But that's not even the line from the movie. The line from the movie, as you know, Gina, is once you take great responsibility, you will attain great power. That is literally said in the movie.
And you still didn't put it together.
Oh, I get that that was like, Spider-Man.
So it's definitely not the same thing.
Well, it's definitely not the same thing. But yeah, look, it's... Anyway, let's go to the intro, everybody.
Oh, God.
And one of the things that really struck me about the intro of this episode of Sigma 6 is they mentioned that time is running out.
Do they?
Yeah,
they
there's
do
a
that every time.
Like, they might have said it every time. I didn't notice it until this time.
Why are we breaking down the intro that's the same every time?
Because new parts of it stand out to me every single time. And it seems like y'all don't pay any attention to the intro, so you didn't even know it happened.
No, I was the one that literally just said it happens every time. And you said, I never noticed it.
But we've never talked about it before. What time is running out?
You don't need to talk about every single thing.
Time is running out for what?
There are no stakes here.
That's the point.
They're just doing the same damn thing week after week.
This is maybe the lowest stakes of any episode of G.I. Joe Sigma 6 we've ever had. So if time is running out, we're time camping the clock.
Time is running out. They say time is running out so that people like you will think, oh, my goodness, there must be something important happening here. I guess I'll just let it wash over me.
Look, unimportant details stay unimportant. It's a hilarious Easter egg. I can't be the only person who's watching this movie who didn't even care to pick up on it.
This time is running out is an unimportant detail.
Here's the thing that I will say. NPR does movie reviews every Thursday or Friday, whenever movies are coming out. And even NPR, which, by the way, that audience is not the target demo for a Madam Web movie. And their reviewers are very much not. Even they were like, there is an uncle, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Like they thought it was so obvious that they didn't even bother like not to really spoil it. Cause they were like, everyone already knows this.
Dude, if the public radio dorks know.
We expect the public radio dorks to pick up on stuff like that. What are you talking about?
They're too busy listening to classical music and shoving Morning Becomes Eclectic up their buttholes.
Well, no, that's a fact, yeah. So we cut back to high-tech Scarlet and Duke have to now deal with this problem between Tunnel Rat and Heavy Duty, the argument, but they're still calling each other friend. They're being very civil to each other. I don't know what's even happening at this point. They were fighting a moment ago.
Listen to this show at all, ever.
Also, once you agree to squash a beef and take care of it in a different way, you have to honor those rules. Like once someone says to you, all right, stop poking each other's noses and eyes, we're going to take care of this in a different way, then you have to immediately be like, oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Those are the rules of beefing.
I mean, look, if anybody understands beefing, it's TV's Gina Pulido.
It's true.
You take that how you want to. There are many
ways. If anyone understands beef and settling a beef by eating large quantities of food, it's me.
I am now picturing the beef that me and Gina have where we sit down with Del Taco soft tacos.
Oh, God. Ew. That's what you choose?
It's because I know I can eat a lot of them. My max was 15.
That is a lot.
Yeah, that's so
they were much cheaper back in the day.
What happened to your butt after that?
Look, this is quite a while ago. I cannot eat 15 anymore. I've tried.
Speaking of butts, this weekend, my partner and I are going to do the Hot Ones challenge.
Yeah, hell yeah!
Oh yes, you are.
All 10 of this season's hot sauces.
Hell yeah!
And we'll be putting them on boneless wings, and we'll be eating them in a row.
Are you filming this?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
This is Patreon. This is Patreon material, Chan.
Yeah, I was going to say, we do this at New Rockstars from time to time, and it's always amazing.
I've never done the Hot Ones. I've actually just started watching Hot Ones in the last, 2 weeks. I've watched, about a dozen episodes of it.
You got to watch the Jennifer Lawrence one.
Oh, yeah?
She thinks she can handle it, and she's hanging for a little while, and then it takes a turn.
I watched the Weird Al one where he's eating vegan boneless wings or whatever it is, and he's taking the tiniest bites of them.
I love him.
You don't? No. Weird Al gets to take whatever size bites he got.
Yeah, exactly.
No, here's the deal. I love him as well. I thought it was very funny the way he was trying to make sure his lips didn't touch the piece of tofu.
That's smart. That's smart.
It is. But then he had the reaction that I think most of my friends growing up would have, in that he would take the bite. And then he'd sort of stare at the host and he would just be like, yes, that's spicy, and have no reaction on his face at all, except this kind of half smile as he can't believe how much pain he's in. And I was like, I know people that would have that exact same reaction. This man is relatable. For the record, I just in the last week introduced Weird Al to my 6-year-old.
How's that going?
She's into it.
Oh,
nice. She asked me to play it in the car now. I made a little playlist of her favorite songs. Ooh. I thought introducing her with the dinosaur one, Jurassic Park, and the claymation was the way to go. Mm-hmm. And I might have been right.
Oh, good call.
Also, anyone that has fart sound effects is always great.
Sure. I mean, made of wind. Stan Freeberg and Weird Al. End of list.
All right, we're 30 seconds into this episode.
We just got past the intro. No, I guess I can push it forward.
For the next 5 minutes, it's fucking hamburger eating.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be as foul as it is, and they just keep going.
Yes. The pit
keeps going.
Also, so I looked up when this was, and this is at the height of the competitive, for anyone, I don't know what the average age of our viewers, but 46. Competitive eating was big right around this. I remember I watched MTV, I Want to Be a Competitive Eater at one point, around this era. Johnny Hot Dogs, what's his name?
Oh, Joey. There's Joey Chestnut. Joey Chestnut. Kobayashi.
Joey Chestnut. Yeah. Kobayashi. They were doing the hot dog challenges. So this would have been familiar. They set a big ass plate, but if you've ever watched the hot dog ones are disgusting. They're dipping them into lemonade to make them more compact. The buns are getting wet.
You're underselling this because I 100% believe that young Gina Ippolito was like, this could be my life.
Yeah.
Oh,
I could be a competitive eater.
Yeah. I absolutely was like, this looks like fun. But then once I watched one, I was like, oh, this looks disgusting.
Well, you don't have to eat hot dogs. You can eat cheese steaks or I don't know what sort of. It could be Taylor ham sandwiches or something like that.
I mean, I've done the all you can eat sushis and challenged myself until the sushi started to just pop out my butt.
I don't want to know anymore. I do not desire any details of that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's pretty crazy. I'm just looking up the history of the hot dog eating competition. And basically all the way through the 90s, you had 12 minutes and the winner would do 19. The winner would do 21. Then we got crazy in the year 2000 and my man in 12 minutes did 25 1/8 hot dog. He was a 100-pound, 32-year-old mattress salesman from Japan. And then in 2001, we went effing nuts because a man named Takeru Kobayashi showed up and he did in 1 year's time. We went from 25 1/8 to 50.
Mm.
50. At that point, a new benchmark had been made and he won the next.
I think that dude did some damage too. I think he distended his stomach at some point and had to retire at 24. Oh, yeah. It's gross.
Yeah, he won 6 years in a row with 50, 50 and a half, 44 and a half. What happened? 53 and a half, 49, and then finally 53 3/4 until he was supplanted by the still champion. He only lost one time since 2006. So almost 20 years. Joey Chestnut had to show up and beat Kobayashi and did so with 66 hot dogs in 12 minutes in 2007. And he has only lost one time. He ate 62. Matt Stoney beat Chestnut 62-60. Joey Chestnut got pissed, came back in 2016 and did 70 in 10 minutes.
So now that we've recapped that, we're done, right? We're done with this episode.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
Introducing the ultimate warrior. The G.I. Joe Super Trooper. There's only one way to get him. Send four Super Trooper certificates and a $1 handling charge. See details on specially marked packages for your Super Trooper. The ultimate warrior.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe. A real American hero.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6.
That's pretty much
I
all
wish.
Of that. Yeah.
We're doing hamburgers. We're doing hamburgers. We're doing slide. They look like sliders.
I'm not going to lie. This plate of hamburgers looks delicious. But by the time we get to the end of the scene, I wanted to vom.
It looked delicious first.
Let me play you some choice moments.
Mm-hmm.
God,
there's also like towards the end, there's also some sick noises that I would very much like you to play of them like slowly getting. Yes, please.
I'm the winner.
Yeah. So they decide beforehand that they have to come up with punishment for the loser. And in this case, punishment is you have to undergo ninja training. Is that how anything works? You just decide the ninjas have to take you with them and train you, even if you're an idiot.
That's a punishment for who exactly?
For the ninjas.
What did
Kamakura do to you?
Did the ninjas lose that they had to do this?
Yeah, this is really... And so they start one-shotting these burgers just one after another, literally just pop, 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 doing them that fast. And like, I just wrote here, like, look, man, I can sit down and eat. Okay. This is absolutely horrifying. This is body horror in
also,
the form of eating.
The thing about this, like, bet is that if anyone at any point on the Joes can train to be a ninja, why are they not all training to be a ninja?
Well, here we go.
That's my only argument against that. Shush, 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 shush. We do not speak of these things.
It seems like if you're already like an elite military force, and there is one group that is better than the others that trains harder. It seems like at some point someone would be like, should we keep training? Like maybe we learn ninja skills too?
Well, here's the thing. Time is running out.
It's a great point, Chan. So it's the end of the competition.
How many burgers?
78. To 77, Tunnel Rat taps out.
Ugh, so disgusting.
I just wrote here, the pooping after this is going to be intense.
Oh, I wrote there, it is going to smell so bad. There was, I don't know if anyone is familiar with this show, Jersey Shore, but there was a character on Jersey Shore who ate a lot of protein. I know people who worked on this show as crew, and apparently... the dude that ate a lot of protein, who lifted a lot, his poops stunk because if you eat nothing but meat, apparently it makes for a stinky poo. And these guys are going to be all I can say is Scarlett is the only woman here. You know, she doesn't have her own bathroom and she is going to be punished for days.
Gina, shame on you. Jinx is here, too.
Oh, I forgot. But the ninjas, I think, have special bathrooms.
The ninjas have
hidden bathrooms, and for good reason.
I'm going to send you a picture.
Please don't.
Picture that there is a specific. I actually have. Okay, I'm going to look it up.
Oh, God. Extended belly shot. It's body horror. This is a body horror episode.
This whole episode is disgusting.
Okay, let me see.
I mean, it's the Tunnel Rat episode. Of course it's disgusting. Of course I'd rather talk about Madam Web for 15 minutes.
I looked it up, and apparently Pornhub has belly distension section.
Oh, yeah, of course.
When you say you looked it up, you found it in your normal travels is what you're trying to say.
There's a word for this kind of fetish, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's because I've seen ones where it's like petite girls eating and then barfing, and yeah.
Oh, I have not seen that.
What the fuck are you guys watching online?
Listen, I used to transcribe in a basement at the Dr. Phil building for hours while we waited for tapes. There was literally nothing to do. And this was 2005. There's not too much internet in 2005. So you watch whatever someone puts in front of your face.
No, you absolutely do not.
You become media
and internet literate, and you avoid lemonparty.org.
You do two things. You play a lot of room escape games, and you try to gross out everyone that you work with.
Yeah, no, this is actually, this is.
I am going to move forward because it is time for ninja training.
Inflation. Isn't it called inflation?
I can't remember. Or
inflation fetish? Here's the thing. There's at least three people who are listening to this right now who for the past 2 minutes have been screaming at their computer the name of this thing because they know it.
Yeah. They know it. They've got it bookmarked.
Shame on all three of you.
Body inflation. Body inflation is the practice of inflating or pretending to inflate a part of one's body, often for sexual gratification.
How much would I get paid if I just puffed up my stomach and posted a picture online of it?
You would be Elon Musk levels.
So she'd be broke.
I mean, it would seem like she has a lot of money, but yes, indeed, she would.
Yeah, she would have no money. Time for ninja training. I love the fact that Firefly's flying them in, and they're just in a shipping container for reasons I don't understand. They're in a helicopter. They get dropped out of a shipping container, which hits the ground and turns into a hovercraft. Like you do, I guess.
Love it.
And Snake Eyes is green. Snake Eyes is green.
Well, no, he's got like a gray suit with green trim.
No, that mofo is green.
Man likes to mix it up. Why you gotta hate?
Yeah, he's not allowed to explore fashion.
No, Snake Eyes wears all black. It's sort of the main reason why he is cool.
Oh, you're saying he can't be cool wearing gray and green?
Have you seen Coleman Domingo? Because he is tearing it up with his different looks, and that man explores colors. So I think a ninja is allowed to do the same thing.
No, and also, Chan, it is not black with green trim. It is green with black trim. I'm going to be posting my own photo in our chat right now. Thank you very much. This mofo is Kermit the Frog green. If Snake Eyes was day one Kermit the Frog green, he would not be the coolest G.I. Joe.
How did you find a shot of like his nuts?
Yeah, what? Is he teabagging us?
Look, I found the shot that most appealed to myself. All right, listen. Yeah, mofo is green, and I don't like it.
With a better picture where you see that it's primarily gray, and there's
green.
A little bit of green on the outside.
That is green. He has gray shoulder pads and green armor.
I'm giving you guys 10 more seconds of this argument, and then I'm cutting.
Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, if he starts singing Rainbow Connection, I'm out.
We need a screenshot of Snake Eyes' butt to get Gina back into this.
There we go. Thank you. So Firefly drops them off. So immediately you understand that Cobra knows about this. Oh, and then we cut to immediately Like, I wrote here, Firefly dropped them off, so Cobra obviously knows about what they're doing. The very next shot is Storm Shadow watching it with Baroness. And them talking about the secret agent inside G.I. Joe. I also like that ninja training is in an old Mayan temple.
No, an old Cobra temple. Let's be real here. That is every Cobra temple from season one and two of Sunbow. Also, I took that screenshot just because it has butts.
It's very nice. No,
Storm Shadow butt. It's got Baroness butt. It's got all the butts that you could possibly need.
It's lovely. And it is. It's a ziggurat. Let's just call it what it is. It's a ziggurat.
It's a Cobra temple.
There's no Cobra. There'd be a giant Cobra on the top of that thing. And there ain't no giant Cobra.
They know where this is because Cobra has been there and they eventually moved up. They traded up into a larger temple.
Well, there you go. Storm Shadow was there with Baroness and they brought with them some combat ninjas, some ninja bats, ladies and gentlemen. Three sure. Ninja bats.
That's a thing.
It's a thing. Now that we're inside the temple and we begin the ninja training in this temple. This is just the initiation. And it opens with Kamakura and Jinx explaining to Tunnel Rat that he's now undergoing ninja initiation. Please don't steal anything. Is it weird that they have to specifically lay out for him at the start of this, please don't steal anything from the ancient temple?
This feels right.
And it's an arc that actually pays off at the end somehow.
The thought that they come to this ancient temple to train so they can train on the booby traps. My God. Do they have an entire 400-person staff to reset all of these booby traps every single time?
I wrote that down. Yes. A lot of these are like giant room, like stadium-sized areas. I don't know how big this ziggurat is. It's huge on the inside. There are Roman Colosseum-sized areas where half the floor is dropping into unknown darkness below. And I just wrote here, how do you reset this? How do you even reset it? How does he know this is a thing? Because he must know that because he basically says, watch this. And he steps on a certain place and half the floor drops away in the room. And I'm thinking to myself, so you've seen this before. How?
I'm going to be honest. I thought that there were going to be way more booby traps in this episode. I thought it was going to be much more Indiana Jonesy, and they abandoned that immediately.
I mean, that's expensive to animate.
They do one thing, and then immediately Tunnel Rat's like, I'm going to go into the sewers. And they're like, all right, well, that plot line has been abandoned.
Yeah. And they give him a map of the entire temple, and apparently he says later all the traps are laid out on the map.
Yeah, he's not too bright. Some might say if Tunnel Rat went to the movies to see a movie that was set in the Spider-Man universe.
It's not set in the Spider-Man universe. That's
yes, it
the point.
Is. All the Sony movies are set in the Spider-Man universe.
They don't have the rights to Spider-Man. They have the rights to everything in the Spider-Man universe.
Yes, and if you know anything about Spider-Man or watched any of the animated series, Kraven the Hunter is coming out. That is a Spider-Man villain.
Venom
3. Madame Web was in Spider-Man. So they are all set in the Spider-Man universe, and all of them find ways to tie it in.
But there's no Spider-Man. It's the part that drives me crazy.
No, there's just Ben Parker and his nephew Peter.
They never say that.
I don't see any connection there. There's nothing that could possibly tie that back to Spider-Man.
They never call him Peter. That's one bridge too far. They literally have a scene where she says his name is actually, she's having a head trip, and then they like pop a bunch of balloons over her talking so you cannot hear what she says.
That did not. Oh my God.
This movie is sounding like better. I wish I knew what that kid's name was.
Oh my gosh. And it did not occur to you that that meant anything.
No. It occurred to me that she was having a weird flashback.
Chan, I need you to tell Ray to stop trying to gaslight the entire universe right now.
I mean, look, it's a very confusing movie.
I think we can all agree. It's too much.
As sure as I am that Snake Eyes is green, that's Madam Web is a confusing movie. Anyway, here we go. How is this ninja training? My understanding of martial arts training, you know, patience, training, what do you call it? When you sit and meditation training, all of that to me would go in part of ninja training. Even watching Storm Shadow in that original Sunbow episode, remember the episode where they have Cobra recruits and the Dreadnoks and Storm Shadow are both trying to impress them so they would go along with their training? Storm Shadow's training, because he wins them over, of course, was not, let's go into a Mayan temple and trigger all the traps. It was a lot of meditation and balance. How is this ninja training? I'm almost getting the idea the writers of G.I. Joe Sigma 6 don't know a goddamn thing about ninjas.
You know what? I feel like maybe the lasers in the ancient temple probably have something to do with the ninja training. Ninjas traditionally train with lasers.
That is a fact, yes. Okay, you know what?
Mayans,
you prove me wrong.
Also, yeah.
So the ninja training, in order to pass the initiation part one, you have to get from one side of the room to the other without setting off too many traps. How many is too many, Kamakura?
Less than all of them, I guess.
Because it seems like Kamakura and Jinx both get across the room and both of them trigger some traps. Tunnel Rat just puts his head down like the water boy and just starts running across the thing, triggers seemingly every trap in the entire room, but makes it to the other side without dying and runs headlong into a wall, knocking himself unconscious. And Kamakura's like, I guess he passed. Did he? Did he pass?
I mean, this guy is no hard sensei.
Hard master?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Look, I just wrote here, I would fail him. I would fail Tunnel Rat right here. This is the worst training I've ever seen. They didn't even show him how to do anything. They just bring him into a situation and say, just do it. And then he doesn't die, and they're like, all right, he's very good. No, he's not. Upset right now.
He's not dead. This episode
really upset me.
That's got to count for something, right?
Although I did think Jinx's bandage sword, what was that? She was like Kratos.
Yeah. Mm.
She had like long-ass bandages wrapped around her arm, and she threw the sword and like embedded it and then like swung on it with the bandages. And I'm like, that, okay, that was pretty cool. Kind of like that. All right. Part one of Storm Shadow versus Snake Eyes. They fight. Okay, moving forward, because nothing really happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a cool ninja fight, but yeah, like, there's no reason for it to be there. It doesn't advance any plot or character or anything. It's like, we've got, well, I don't know, like 2.5 minutes of this thing to fill. Let's put the animators to work.
There will be 5 of these sequences through, and each one is just Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow fighting with nothing gained.
No.
So, nothing, second round.
Nothing
test.
Ventured, nothing gained when it comes to ninja shit.
Thank you. The second room test for Tunnel Rat basically is just a Roblox orgy. No, Roblox obby. This is the part where half the room falls away and they just have to jump without falling in the pit. And it doesn't even look that hard. I feel like I could do it. It's real, like floor is lava shit. And Tunnel Rat's like, I'm out. I quit. And they're like, okay. I'm like, this is the weakest. You are the weakest character. I hate him so much. He doesn't even try. He just taps out.
Maybe he just has a different kind of intelligence. You know how you got your emotional intelligence and sure. your, you know, like whatever intelligence you had. Ninja intelligence, he does not have. He does have hamburger intelligence.
Okay. And bug intelligence.
And bug intelligence. Yep. Bug-eating intelligence. I don't know. I feel like most bugs probably could beat him in a game of tic-tac-toe.
And yes, he does just like whip his tongue out and eat a spider at some point in a hallway. Yep. That is...
Yes, he does.
So he's basically paralyzed on the floor saying, I'm too scared. I can't go forward. I can't go backwards. I can't move. I am paralyzed with fear. Go on without me. And Kamakura and Jinx are like, all right, we're just going to take off. And they're like, we'll just come back and get you at the end, I guess. And I guess that's fine. Cut back to part two of Snake Eyes versus Storm Shadow. And what we learn is that Storm Shadow throws nunchucks.
I need to get to the deep philosophical nut of this episode.
Yes, please.
I think Storm Shadow has some very wise words to pass along to us.
Okay. Play them for us, please.
Namely...
He who takes the battle to the next level has the longest way to fall.
The battle to the next level has the longest way to fall.
Makes sense to me.
Fortune cookie. Yeah.
It's a metaphor for fighting.
It's an anti-high ground metaphor.
In a battle and falling.
Because Snake Eyes jumps on a large platform well above the high ground. And Storm Shadow throws his nunchucks, and then he sets a remote control trigger, and they blow up the foundation.
Yes.
Causing Snake Eyes to fall. Okay, cutting back to the temple, Tunnel Rat finds a secret button on the floor. Suddenly, is no longer paralyzed with fear, and he opens a round door in the wall and walks in there and says, "This ain't found on my map, eat a spider."
Also, are we sure that this isn't Professor X's secret hideout?
You know what? Okay. This is the danger room? Is that what you're going with?
No. I'm, again, going to send you a screenshot. It's just a big old row of X-Men X's on there.
Yes, it is.
No particular reason.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, they reused a background, it looks like.
I mean, it really does.
Oh, boy. So, Tunnel Rat's no longer scared because he's in a tunnel.
Sure.
And I'm just like, I don't know, man. I'm ready to tap out right about here. cut back to part three of Storm Shadow versus Snake Eyes, and they do a lot of jumping. Just jumping and jumping and jumping.
Yeah. Well, you know, because one of them has to take the battle to the next level, so they have to be pretty high up because then the other person has the farthest to fall.
See, I thought they had to do a lot of jumping because Snake Eyes was Kermit the Ninja.
Oh. That's probably the deeper significance of this.
Back at the temple, Kamakura and Jinx have now accepted they've lost track of Tunnel Rat. They go back to the room where they left him. But, like, there's a big round door that's open, and he's just sitting on the other side of it, allegedly. He hasn't gone anywhere, because they cut back to him, and he's still just sitting there in that hallway. How do they not notice this open door on the wall of that same room, not far from where they're standing? The door's like, it's open. Anyway, this is when the Baroness shows up in the temple, and she's got some badass Destro produced illusion gadgets, which make it look like there's like 50 of her, and you try to hit it, but it's a hologram, and it's badass.
Yeah.
On top of that, she has three ninja bats that have carbon plating, ladies and gentlemen, which means they're immune to all damage.
I believe it means that the Maillard reaction has given them a delicious crust while they're on the barbecue.
Okay. Yeah, well, the upshot of it is, no matter how much damage they take, they can't be put down.
So it seems.
And this is where we take the turn I was regretting and hoping we wouldn't see. Because Tunnel Rat shows up to save the day. And Tunnel Rat is wearing a bejeweled crown and wearing like four different giant gemmed rings. And he says, hey, Baroness, I've got a big pile of treasure. Let's make a deal. If you let us go, I'll tell you where the treasure is. And Baroness, for a moment, turns into a drooling buffoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is my least favorite part. The Baroness has never shown an affinity for riches or jewels. Only power, really, is what she craves. Mm-hmm. So the fact that she immediately is like, jewelry? I'm a girl. I hated it.
It was really bad. She literally, I think, like little hearts pop out of her eyes in that anime way. Now, thankfully, she gets her poop back together and she's like, actually, no deal. I'm just going to kill you. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I do like that she's like, why would I need you? Like, I have all of Cobra Commander's bats at my disposal. I'll just have them hunt for the treasure.
I got ninja bats. What do I need Tunnel Rat for? Mm-hmm. Go get stuck in some wires hanging from the ceiling, you idiot.
But ultimately, no one does get that treasure, which I also didn't really like.
Nah. Well, I mean, while we ponder that, let's go back to Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow for part four, this time featuring Naruto running and a waterfall. Yep. They Naruto run
for you.
And this over is a waterfall.
This is a question I'm going to ask Ray.
Oh, boy.
Gina may be able to answer this, but probably not. I want you to listen to this.
Okay.
And then tell me what I wrote in my notes. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. This is a puzzle in four parts. Part one.
Our paths cross again, my dear brother.
Part two.
I shall have my revenge, brother.
Part.
I see where we're going with this, yeah?
Three.
I have waited my whole life for this, brother.
Okay, I'm seeing a pattern, a Hulk Hogan style pattern.
Another time, brother.
And what have I written in my notes?
I mean, you've obviously written down that it's a Hulk Hogan reference of some kind.
Storm Shadow says, brother, more than Hulk Hogan.
Thank you.
Wait. Chan, let me ask you this though. After those scenes, did you leave the movie theater knowing that they were brothers, or did you say, you know what, it was never made clear what their relationship is? I know it's set in the G.I. Joe world.
I feel like one of them may be an uncle. I don't know why they would keep bringing it up, or who he might be the uncle of, but
it's not important to the story. So why would you care?
It is not important that they are brothers in the story. That is correct.
I mean, it is. That is important. That's why they say it four bleeping times. And yes, they are. I mean, like, Snake Eyes is adopted by the family of Storm Shadow in the Ninja Arashikage clan. So yes, they are brothers. Look, I didn't realize that Ben was that Ben, and I probably should have, but it doesn't matter to any part of that story, and Spider-Man is not in this world. Even though evil Spider-Man is in this movie. Look, I didn't even think about that until Gina mentioned it, and all I could do was sit back in my chair and smile broadly, because there is no excuse for not putting it together. But it is also, I see how I didn't. I let myself off the hook. So I'm fine, you guys.
Well, if you can't forgive yourself, then who will?
Yeah, like, I got plenty of other things that I've done in my life that are very unforgivable. This does not rank. Okay, Baroness is now following Tunnel Rat. And she's exploring the tunnel as well. And he's doing the Three Stooges Scooby-Doo bit where he keeps popping out from just various places that there's no bleeping way that this is Scooby-Doo, you know, doorway hijinks where he's on the right side. Now he's above. Now he's on the left side. Now he's further down the hall. And he's just popping his head out like he's part of Rowan and Martin's Laughing. And I did not care for it.
I did love Rowan and Martin's Laughing.
There you go. And this is where Baroness falls into a trap. But it's the kind of, it's a Wile E. Coyote style trap in that she steps on the pressure point under water, and Tunnel Rat, even though this part of the map is not on the map, Tunnel Rat just somehow knows she got tripped into a trap, and the trap doesn't trigger until he brings it to her attention, like it is Wile E. Coyote running off of a cliff and having to look down before he falls. Why did Zaslav cancel that movie?
He was worried that people wouldn't understand that it was set in the Acme universe.
Look, that is not made clear, Gina.
He said, there's going to be a guy that sees this movie that doesn't put together the fact that these are the same characters from old Looney Tunes cartoons. We should probably just shelve it until audiences get smarter.
You know what? If that's what he said, I'm back on board. Good job, Zaslav. Wait till the people are ready. This is where Kamakura and Jinx, we cut back to them, and they're still fighting the ninja bats. Like, I mean, I feel like we missed a scene in there somewhere. But they're still fighting the ninja bats, and they defeat one of them with what I can only describe as packing tape.
The bandages from the sword earlier.
Is that what that is?
Limitless. Just keep going.
They wrap him up like a present and then like shoot him in the face repeatedly.
Yep. I mean, how else do you do it?
Yeah. Inexplicable. And there were three of them, but they only kill one that we see. The continuity I'm not okay with. Anyway, how about Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes Part 5, the final part, fighting with swords under a waterfall? Honestly, pretty cool set piece. Took us a while to get there. Lasts for about 3 seconds before Baroness falls out from the sky from the water trap she fell into through the waterfall. Storm Shadow has to catch her, and he says, I must tend to my friend. I must leave now. Our fight will continue another time.
Brother.
The fight is now over.
Brother.
Ooh, let me tell you something, Snake Eyes. Take your vitamins and say your prayers. And then I just wrote here, Green Snake Eyes is the lamest shit on the planet. I'm sorry. It's so lame. And then they said Tunnel Rat passes the initiation.
Yeah, I don't understand any of this, but
I don't know how. I don't know what he did in particular, other than find a button they never found before and not die.
I mean, he basically cheated, which seems like it would be against the ninja code.
But if we remember G.I. Joe, the movie, original Tunnel Rat cheated on the obstacle course and won. He was allowed to win.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the one part I don't have a problem with now that I think about it. It's the only part that's true to the character. He also puts back all the treasures. Our final scene is the camera pans up to reveal a secret room with all the treasure and the crown in it. And they say, Tunnel Rat, you didn't steal anything. Great job. He's like, because ninjas don't steal. They're like, yes, ninjas don't steal. I think they do, actually, but don't worry about that. Good job, Tunnel Rat. And then my final note is, I hate him so much.
I mean, here's the weird thing is that, like, they're like, congrats, you're a ninja. It's going to be a lot of hard work. I thought, given the rules of, like, writing, that he would be like, what? There's more work? Never mind. And it was going to reset to him not being a ninja and just being shitty Tunnel Rat. But it seems to leave the door open that now he is actually a ninja, which is insane.
Yeah, I much like a degree from Trump University, I do not consider this valid.
Yeah.
This is a for-profit cash grab by the ninjas, so shame on them.
This is gold sneakers all over again.
Those of you listening to this in the future, remember when he did the gold sneakers for $400? You guys remember that before he won the election and put us all in chains and forced us to work in the mines? At least we can listen to podcasts, right?
Thank goodness for that.
We tried to warn you. But the other guy was a little bit older. Couldn't have that. Anyway, that's our show. That is G.I. Joe Sigma 6 Challenge. Y'all, this is my least favorite episode in the history of all the Sigma 6 we have watched. second worst. The one with Snake Eyes and Tunnel Rat forced to being paired together. And her having to save him from literally just him almost dying repeatedly for no reason was my least favorite. This is my second least favorite episode. Where does this one rank for you?
Not a fan.
I've forgotten all the episodes.
You know what, Gina? Had you said anything other than that, I would have thought you were killed and replaced by a Terminator. So it's probably for the best. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you so much. And we're going to be adding in some more Patreon episodes. We got a few of those scheduled to be recorded. You're going to have a few more bonus episodes, a few extra videos, and we're really going to, we're going to try to put up some more stuff for you guys on Patreon. That's patreon.com/knowing is half the podcast. Y'all have been so good to us. Y'all have given us so much. We'd like to actually give something back. We try to give back where we can, but we do want to do something a little bit more consistently. So look for those videos on the Patreon site if you are a subscriber, and if you're not a subscriber, come on. You can join for free just to sort of get a vibe for what it is. And then after you do that, then you can, you know, for not very many dollars, you can watch all the stuff we post. So, I mean, think about it. If you like the show, you want to support us, it's one way to do it.
So many episodes.
Chan is making a season 8 logo that is potentially the weakest one we've ever had.
A, how dare you. B, I sent it days ago.
It still had a 7 on it, didn't it?
Then I sent another one.
I can't keep track of all this.
Clearly. Well, you're saying that I have to know all of the Spider-Man's relatives too? I gotta know his uncle? How is that relevant to the Spider-Man universe?
How is it? Thank you, Chan. How is it relevant to the Spider-Man universe?
Ray's like, it's really weird that baby came out of that woman and started spitting webs out of his little hands, out of his little baby hands. Oh, well, I guess it doesn't mean anything.
No, why would it mean something? They don't have the rights to that character. Oh, I see what you mean.
Ready to fight!
Wherever Cobra strikes, wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight. There's no turning back.
Yo, Joe!
Be a hero!
G.I. Joe will turn the tide!
Be a hero!
Sigma 6 is on your side!
Be a hero!
Be the best of the best!
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Sigma 6!
Hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures.
But Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's
is it
like...
Is because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them. If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.